experience, and I appreciated being able to do that, just have voices. You know, it's kind of nice sometimes to simplify. We make our lives a little complicated at times, and I think God really wants us to remember that at the base and the core of everything is just Him. It's just Him and you. It's just Him and us. It's just Him and His creation and His love. And that's what we're here for today, is to be a part of that experience with God. I feel like God has been doing an interesting work in my heart as this day has progressed. I've been working on getting things ready for church. And one thing I want to mention is that you're going to want sermon notes today. So if you do not have a program, raise your hand and a program will be brought to you, because our scripture references, some of them will be on your sermon notes, and you may even want to take a few little notes down. But we're simplifying in another way today, because we are not even doing our technical part with slides. We're going to just look at scripture and just be together talking about God and how great He is. He's such a good God who gives to us. But as I've prepared today, and I try to center my heart and center my being on Him as I get ready to come and speak His words on a Saturday, I just feel like there was a tenderness that He just brought over me about His feeling for His church. That He loves His church, and that it's not about what we get out of coming to church, but it's about the fact that we are a church, and that a church is not the place we meet or the things we do, like have a band or have slides. The church is about community and us being able to have hearts that are moldable and pliable like His in order to support each other through whatever we go through. I think we have a tendency at times to withdraw when we're struggling, when in fact what God wants us to do is come together and support each other through our trials. And it feels wrong to be that vulnerable. I've been there. I remember the years of deep depression and coming to church basically because I had little kids. And I think God did that on purpose because I would have stayed home and isolated, yet I felt an obligation to bring those kids to church. So I was still within a community. People saw my pain. They asked me about it. They prayed for me. I didn't just openly share. I was not as open as I am now. Now I kind of let you guys know everything going on in my life. And sometimes that's to my benefit and sometimes it's not. But I didn't share then. I was closed off, but I was still part of a community. And that's kind of there's a dichotomy there. Being closed off, yet being part of a community, that helped me through my journey. And so as we gather together, that's what we do as a church community. And I just want to suggest that as you look around and there's seats that are not occupied, that those people who are not here probably could use a call or a text or a card. Because there's people who are struggling within our own body, and there's parts of our own body who are hurting and not doing well right now. I know one of my toenails is chipped, my toenail polish is chipped, because I dubbed it this week. And let me tell you, it hurt really, really badly. And then when I looked down and realized it chipped polished, then it made me really disappointed inside. So if you think about the church being a body, somebody's stubbing their toe. And they're not only hurting, they're disappointed. So let's remember, as we are part of New Vision Fellowship, to reach out to those who we maybe haven't seen for a few weeks. And just make sure that they're just out jetting off the country on vacation, that everything is fine, but let them know they're missed. But in addition, let people know that you're praying for them and that they're in your heart. Because that's what God desires of us. We're going to start with the passage of Scripture that is on the side of your sermon notes, the back side that says why we give. And it's Luke 6:38. You can follow along as I read this. It says, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." This is our theme verse for our giving drive. Our giving drive lasts for 5 weeks. And this week, this sermon is called Give. Because that's what this verse begins with, is give, comma. There's a place to take a breath in this verse. Give. And you will receive. And we'll talk more about that next week. But what I want to do this week is talk about how we give. The first way we give is best defined as surrendering to God. I was looking through the internet this week, and I came upon a picture of a cat who was just like face down, and it said, "I give up." I thought, well, not exactly what I'm going for. However, interestingly enough, that made me decide that this sermon series is going to be called Giving Up. And it's going to be called Giving Up for two reasons. And the first is the first way we give. The first way we give is in complete surrender to God. We do say, "I give up." And sometimes we do it when we're at our wits' end, when we don't know what else to do. Other times we do it because God's been knocking at our heart over and over and over and over. We had the camp out last weekend, and we had the honor and the excitement of baptizing three people. Erica and Madison and Jesse were baptized. And you know what baptism represents? It represents that giving up. That going under the water, dying to yourself, and coming up out of the water, a new creation. Shedding the old and being made new. That is the surrender that God asks of us. But he doesn't ask that because he hasn't done it himself. We give because he gave first. Now, on one side of this, you're going to have verses that are written out. And on the other side, you're just going to have, it says, other verses for study. And I'm going to go ahead and read those, the content of those, which I don't expect you to write down. But it's things for you to refer back to, either when you take this home with you or during our expressive worship time with the Bibles in the back. But Isaiah 64:8 says, "And yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all formed by your hand." This reminds me of when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was saying, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." We are the clay, and he is the potter. But you know what? We get choice after choice after choice after choice. Our life is so full of choices, and that's called free will, that we get to choose over and over and over and over if we are going to be the kind of pot that sits out in the sun and bakes and cracks, or whether we're going to be the kind of pot that stays pliable because it's in the Father's hand all the time. You know, when I was in school anyway, or I'm sure that you still get to do this, but there was clay day on Friday afternoons in art class. And just getting that clay, it was really hard in the beginning. It wasn't like Play-Doh. And we had to work it and work it and work it and work it. And that's what this verse talks about, is staying soft in the Father's hand, and he's going to have to work it a little bit to soften it up, especially those areas in our life that we have not yet given to him. And I say it not saying if you have areas of your life that you've never given, that you've not yet, like, yet given to him. I say with confidence, there's areas in your life you have not yet given to him. I know that because you're still here. And as long as you're here living on earth, there's going to be things that we're constantly growing in and giving to God. And he's going to take those things, and at first it's going to seem hard. And he's going to have to be that potter with that clay, usually our heart that might be a little hard, and soften it up and warm it up and remake it into something that he has planned for us. Another verse that I have down for study, I really want us to embrace this giving drive. I really want us to embrace giving up. And so that's why sermon notes are not just blank papers today. They're actually things that we can take with us so that we are digging in together and doing this as one. So in Galatians 2:20, it says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." God gave to us and continues giving himself up for us. It talks about trust. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God. How do we live life? How do we live life? Life is hard. There's things that happen every single day. Sometimes every single hour that challenges us. Paul writes to the Galatians, and we get the letter 2 that says we live in these earthly bodies by trusting in the Son of God. Oh, because he loved us and he gave himself up for us. That trust enhances our ability to continually surrender to God, to continually give in this first way that we're looking at giving. And then Romans 12:1 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." I realize that Paul was writing this to the Romans, the people living in Rome, the Christians in Rome, and that he was talking to individuals, brothers and sisters, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Give them to God. But I also like to go back to that fact that as a church, we are a body. And so let's read this again with the mindset that he's talking to brothers and sisters at New Vision. So New Vision Fellowship, I plead with you to give your body to God because of all he has done for you. God has blessed our socks off, you guys. He has. It hasn't always been easy. I don't know. I do not know when we're going to move again, and I'm not saying that I've heard anything, thankfully. But, you know, we just moved 4 months ago. Our fourth move or our third move? We have had some losses within our community that were huge, but we've also had some great additions. I look at you today, and I see great additions to our family. God is saying, here are new believers. Here are new people to love. Because you are my church and you are my body, and I'm doing this for you. He says, let new vision be a living and holy sacrifice that he finds acceptable, because this is truly the way to worship him. We come together on Saturdays to worship God for no other reason. We lifted our voices today. Thank you, technology, for helping us stay somewhat on key. But we lifted our voices with nothing more than our vocal cords to him today as a way to worship him, because he asks us to be a living and holy sacrifice. This, people, is how we give. Give. The other way of giving, with this word give, is to literally give through generosity. There is a link that cannot be separated between our faith and works. And I want to say, and I've said it before, we do not earn our salvation. Our salvation is a free gift from God. But our works are a byproduct of that salvation. And without those works, then our salvation is questionable. Our faith is dead, it says in the Bible. It is because of our faith that we act through giving. There is a place in Matthew that Jesus is talking about the end times and the judgment that will happen. And he talks about an interaction that will occur where he says to some people, when I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was naked, you gave me clothes. And when I was in need, or when I didn't feel loved, or when the world rejected me, you did all this for me. This is my version. And those people in their humble state will look at Jesus and say, when? Hey, I never saw you naked. I never cooked you a dinner. And he says to those people, when you do it to the least of these, you have done it to me. When you have seen someone in need and met that need, you have met the need of Jesus Christ. When you have seen someone who is lacking love, and you have chosen to love them, you have loved Jesus Christ. When you have said a kind word to someone who is passing by on a walking path or on a sidewalk, and their head is down, and you don't know what kind of day they've had, but you choose to say, hi, I hope you're having a good day, or have a great day. You're saying that to Jesus. You are spreading every action of kindness that you showed other people. You're doing that for Jesus. Again, let's look at some scriptural support for this concept of giving. So we have the first kind of giving, which is surrendering to God. We've got some scriptures to look at and study and put that into our head as being extremely important during this giving drive. I recognize it's not Lent, but still all the time we give. Acts 20:35 is on the side that says why we give. Would someone be willing to read that out loud? Ooh, maybe not. Yeah, Amy? Thank you. So it says you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Who can tell me where that is found in the Gospels? Robert, do you really know? 135. It's in Acts 20:35, which is the Acts of the Apostles, which Luke wrote. And he's talking about Paul teaching on a missionary journey. And there's quotation marks that says, it is more blessed to receive than to give. No, it is more... Uh-oh, wrong answer. It is more blessed to give than to receive. However, that is not found in the Gospels, actually. That is not recorded. So we're getting a little extra. Can you imagine that Jesus said more words than are recorded in the Gospels? Oh, my goodness. He probably said so, so much more. And Luke, we know, wrote his Gospel from other people's accounts. And so he tells the story, like of Mary's story. It's speculated that he sat down with Jesus' mom and actually like said, tell me what happened, and recorded her story. And so I assume that the same thing might have happened here, where someone said to Luke, Jesus said this, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And Paul, who certainly wasn't a fan of Jesus, did not walk with Jesus during Jesus' life on earth, but got to know Jesus and became a great apostle for him, he then teaches that as well. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said that. You know, sometimes actions speak louder than words, but I have a feeling, since there's quotation marks, that Jesus actually said this. But we also know that he showed it. He showed it through the way he lived. Now, we're going to go to the Old Testament. So right underneath that is Psalm 112, verses 5 and 6. And it says, good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. Okay. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Well, that sounds like someone who is following God's example. Such people will not be overcome by evil. That sounds fantastic. Doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like a fantastic byproduct of being generous with your money? That you will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. The godly imitate God by being generous, compassionate, and righteous. So I mentioned already that our giving drive is 5 weeks. We didn't do like a build-up to it necessarily. We're going to just explore it as we go along this next 5 weeks. Why do we do a giving drive at New Vision? Well, I've told this story before, and I'm going to tell it again. When I first started pastoring, and it's been 4 years, well, 4 and a half, I guess, I think. Bad at math. Jesus said, There's a message. There's a message for this body. And the message is you need to stop talking about being a church and start being a church. And so that led us into this call to action. Make sure your faith is working, is out there, can be seen. And we really engaged at that time in being active in our community. And I am praying that we reignite that, because I think that is at our core value that we do that. We still are partners with the Gleaners. St. Child doesn't seem to be needing our assistance right now. So there are some other things that we are looking into as ways to serve. One thing that's kind of exciting is that Gleaners would like us to literally go to farms and glean, pick fruit, and do some things like that. So we're going to put together a day to do that, and I think that would be a lot of fun. So what he said, what Jesus said in addition to, put your faith to action. Let's get this church going. Let's get it on fire. He said, if you choose not to, because again, everything is a choice, free will, he said, I'm going to leave and go find a group of people who will. And so we took that seriously. And every summer since then, we have started giving drives so that we can be prepared to be a giving church. We don't measure our success by anything but God's standard. And he's continued to pour out blessings upon us as we've continually recalibrated our course. It's not like we just got it right off the bat and started doing everything right and never had to stop and recalibrate a little bit. We've done that. I'm the worst at it, questioned, why are we still a small body? Why are we small in number? And God has gotten on my case about that. And I know I shared about that after I came back from General Conference, that he's like, you know, quit giving it to me, giving me the church, giving me every concern you have, and then taking it right back and figuring out your own answer. But I recognize that God doesn't measure our obedience by the same things that humans do, that society does. He measures it by our heart and our actions. And we, as the little society we are here in our church, have done amazing things. We get regular requests for benevolence, and they come from within our community. We are here to help those within our community when there's a need. But they also come outside of our community, people who we will never meet, who call and say, I have no ability to pay my rent this month. And a lot of times they will say, when I call them back, you're the only church that has called me back, and I have called 20. Well, that's because we're an obedient group of people who are doing what God calls us to do. And so we arrange with them, after talking with the leadership board, how much we can help. And we always give the check directly to the landlord. So we're wise with our funds. We've never just given someone money for their electric bill. Here's cash, go pay your electric bill. We pay PGE. So we try to have a lot of wisdom in how we handle the benevolent money that God has allowed us to have. But we put our action behind our faith, and that's why we're doing a giving drive again this summer. So last year, and I think the year before, we had a whole list of different places you could give your money to, And this year, we're simplifying. Have you caught a theme yet? There's a simplification in this year. This year has been way too complicated in way too many ways for me personally and for all of you. There has been a lot that's happened, and we've had to move, and we've had to try to figure out new things, and we've had to try to remember to come to church on Saturday. So there's just a couple of ways that we're going to ask people to pray about giving this year. The first way is to tithe. Now, God says in Malachi 3:10, which is the last verse on your Why We Give sheet, he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Well, we heard a testimony at the top of the service, and when Jesse and Heather and I and Rose were standing and talking, and she told me that story about having tithed and then getting it back, my first thought was, oh my gosh, isn't God good? He just gave your tithe right back. They were given the wisdom to realize this is God's money. This is not how we're going to answer our own prayers. And they gave the tithe to which he repaid them. They would have had enough for one night in a motel had they used the tithe money. They had enough for seven nights in a motel because they trusted in God. So that's what Malachi 3:10 is saying. It's saying, bring your tithe. Bring that portion which God has asked us to do. A tithe means 10%. Bring your tithe into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. Well, what does that mean exactly? What it means by today's, by the way we live today, is that there is a community that we have formed called New Vision Fellowship, and there's a certain amount that we need to keep this community going financially. And God will take whatever we give, and he will make sure that continues to happen because he's the one who is in charge of this church. So the first thing that I want to suggest is that if you are not currently tithing, which again, a tithe is 10%, that you choose a percentage for these 5 weeks of the giving drive. Maybe it's 1%, 2%, 3% of whatever you get for your gross income to live on during these 5 weeks. And put God to the test. Try it, put me to the test. Give a percentage and see if God doesn't do exactly what he promises to do. So that you can be testifying like Jesse did, God blessed us seven times over. If you're not currently tithing, but you're giving a set amount, then I would just ask that you raise that by 1% or raise that by a certain amount. It's not so much what you give, but it's how you give. God has told us to give to him, to his work that is being done, and that he will bless that. So that's the first part of our giving drive. Because after all, when we started tonight and defined give, it was about surrendering to God. And that's what this first part of the giving drive explanation is encompassing. It's about surrendering to him. And recognizing that what we think we own, we don't really own. It all belongs to him. We will surrender that to him. And he allows us to take baby steps. Thank you, God, for allowing baby steps. When my husband and I first started tithing, I think we started at 5%. And that was so hard because we were used to spending all of that money. So take a baby step. It's not what you give, it's how you give. Give with surrender and put God to the test. He tells us to do it in this case. Then the other thing is that we have the ability to give in two other ways, which is towards our benevolence fund and towards our mission fund. So tithes go to general operating expenses. And just as a point of transparency to you all, we're running about $2,000 behind this year in keeping up with our budgeted projection. However, we have a great leadership board, and we are not overspending. We are being aware of that, and we are managing the money. And so we're not spending up to what we've been budgeted. A budget is kind of a faith statement, and if that money is not there, then it is not being spent. But we are running a bit behind. I just wanted to let you know, because I have promised transparency. So the general fund is where tithes go. And then there's offerings that we can give, which are above and beyond a tithe. So if you decide to give a 1%, then you can decide how much more am I going to give an offering. And benevolence fund, I've used the word benevolent a lot. It just means giving. We have a fund that we build up every year, and then we give. And I gave you examples of ways that we have helped other people. You know, we love here at New Vision without a hook. If someone comes to us and says they have a need, we recognize that when we meet that need, we are giving to Jesus. When we give someone a roof over their head for a month, it's because Jesus needs a roof over his head that month. And that's why we do it. We do it for no other reason except sheer obedience and surrender to him. We don't say, you have to come and attend our church, or you have to come here to get your check. There are no hooks. We pray and we obey. The benevolence helps the homeless, helps the jobless, helps people in illness, helps people in lots of nests. I guess maybe it would be better to put an M in front of that instead of an N and say, when people are in a mess, benevolence is where we go to help get them out of that mess. This year, we're going to have a Saturday where we put together homeless kits again. A few years ago, we did that where there's gloves. This year, we're going to make sure there's socks. Some real practical things so that as you are driving around town or walking around or on a bus going somewhere, you can carry a baggie with a kit in it. And if you see someone who is homeless and in need, that is there to share that with them. And then we also have our scarf making project, and we're going to be putting scarves on trees and things in our community. I was given, I think, 3 or 4 hats that were knitted. We're collecting things so that in that time of the season, we can share with those who are in need. And then the other area for your offering is missions. And we use our missions fund for several different things. One, to assist people who are going on mission trips if there is a financial need. Or if we can just do it to bless them. We, as a church, sent out 3 people to the Dominican Republic this summer. What part can we do? Well, we pray for them. And we had the decision made by the leadership board that there's a little bit of money here in our missions fund. Let's help and assist. We didn't pay anybody's whole way, but we said, hey, as a church, we want to help. And in a few weeks, we're going to hear from Gail and April and Tia about their experience in the Dominican Republic. The other thing that this missions fund does is it helps us to be able to give to the Bishop's Relief Fund. And that is something that we have done a few times in the last few years. I know we did it last year at one point. Forgive me because my memory is not real clear about dates right now and times. But there was a major earthquake in a South American country, and the missionaries that the Free Methodists had there were in extreme danger if they were even pointed out as being Christians, because it was not legal at that point in that country to be a Christian. And so the Bishop's Relief Fund, bishops sent out a notice to all the churches and said, we need to get money to these missionaries who can then disperse it quietly to the people who are really in need, because things aren't getting to the right people who are really in need of that. And so again, we made a decision to take some money out of our missions fund, give to that Bishop Relief Fund. So that comes through our being part of a denomination. And then the other way is that we're in a partnership with Vietnamese Free Methodist churches. And I say we because the Oregon Conference, who we're part of, has a partnership with the Vietnamese churches, and they're just really getting off the ground. It's illegal in Vietnam to be a Christian, and so pastors are risking a lot by having church in their homes. And at General Conference, one of the pastors from Vietnam who visited Oregon last year was there again, and you can't take pictures and post it on social media and say where you're at, those kinds of things, because if he then went back to Vietnam, as soon as he got off the plane, he would be arrested. So we are trying to do what we can as the Oregon Conference. And so at times, there's a point that we gave some money so that those pastors could start getting some of their education that they needed in the Bible. So anyway, I wanted to run those things down so that you guys had knowledge on where you can give to this giving drive. So the next steps are on your sermon notes, and they're pretty simple. The first is, I choose to make my heart flexible to God's plans. That's the first give, right? Surrendering to God's plans. I'm going to choose to make my heart flexible. There we go with those choices again. The second is, I will be responsive when God asks me to give. Be responsive when he asks you to give. And then the third is, I will pray about what to give and then give during this giving drive. We're going to go into our silent response time now. And if God has given you a number, as you're just thinking about the giving drive and he's like, this number came into your head, don't be too quick to dismiss that, especially if it seems a little shocking and unreasonable, because God has a way of doing that to us. I knew about the giving drive before you guys, and I'm giving a check today that I didn't expect to be able to give. But because I sold some vehicles this last week, I've been wheeling and dealing, let me tell you. I had some extra money, and I would love to just sock it away because that would be where my security is, right? No. The money is going to be given to God because that is where my security is. So as we go into the silent worship, just sit with God as a pad plays for a couple of minutes, and then we'll have a short testimony time before we again simplify our worship today, lifting just our voices to him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, wow, you amaze me. Here we are in this building on a Saturday night, and even 8 months ago, this is not what we're expected to be, where we expected to be, how we expected to be doing church, who we'd be doing it with. But God, you know all these things because you've designed a path for us. And what we desire above all else is to follow the path that you've laid before us and to be obedient in that as a church and as individuals. God, I pray that you will stir our hearts. I thank you for just this softness that you've given me in my heart, that I just feel like is just a representation of your love for us, for the church. Help us, Lord God, to exemplify all that it means to be church and to really discover that fresh and new as we come together and we give up during these next 5 weeks. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.